Hello, everyone. You have returned to us. Welcome. Thank you.
Oh, no.
I slept in today. And James is here. Hi, James.
Hi, Giselle. How are you?
I'm fan-freaking-tastic. How are you?
Okay, I'm going to say this because this is the third episode, and welcome to the third episode of Mutants, Slayers, and Jedi.
Oh my.
I remember the title. It's very exciting.
Yeah, you guys.
Your own podcast. Isn't that great?
Yeah, James remembered the title this time, you guys. This is momentous.
Really embarrassing.
Yeah, it's
but leave it in because that's what it's about.
It's okay. It's only the title. It's fine. We only spent like a million hours workshopping it.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. So mutants and Slayers. Mutants and Slayers. Christian Slayers.
Yes.
God damn it. I'm sorry, everyone. I don't work well in the mornings, but that's...
No, I woke Giselle up at 9:30, her time.
Yeah.
12,
I know, 9:30. So, I know, 9:30, so early. I know, yeah, I kind of suck in the mornings, and, but no, it's fine. So, James texted me because we were supposed to start at 9, and I slept through all of my alarms because I'm an adult.
And this was her suggestion, by the way.
And yeah, and by the way, just to add insult to injury, I was the one that said 9 a.m., so I am professional as hell, obviously.
We all have our moments. Mine was the first episode of forgetting our title while introducing the show.
And mine is just not
being awake.
not really being present, you know? But that's okay. That's okay. All right, so for this third episode, we are going to talk about... one of my favorite shows right now, which is Riverdale.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about specifically the first season. That's what's available to stream right now online. So if you're caught up with the first season, we are going to talk about that. And so if you don't want to get spoilers, if you're only starting the show, yeah, proper warning, there's going to be spoilers for the first season. So we're letting you know now. Riverdale. Initial thoughts. James, do you like Riverdale?
I do like Riverdale. I think for me, Riverdale is like that guilty pleasure show, though. Mm-hmm. It's not like really great TV. I mean, it's great TV in the way that like you're like, ooh, what's going to happen next? I have to watch the next episode. But you're not going in and being like, oh, these performances are stellar. You're like, oh, they're CW.
It's a great CW show.
It is. Yes.
It's a great...
It's like, total guilty pleasure, like, okay, when is KJ Apa going to take his shirt off again?
Right.
This running shirtless in the rain.
Right. It's a great, perfect CW show, which I think is its own genre of entertainment because there are certain formulas, certain things you get to look forward to in a CW show, and I'm all about it.
Yes. I think there's only certain shows that have kind of broke out of the mold of being, like, really stereotypical CW/WB shows. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, Buffy, Angel, maybe. Like, you know, I think, like, it just falls into that soap opera kind of ridiculous teenager show.
And the funny thing is, as far as, like, teenager soap opera shows, when I was an actual teenager, long, long, long time ago.
Okay, do you think that far back?
Huh? Wait, what?
Nothing.
Fuck you. Fuck you, James.
You can remember that far back? I can't. It's gone. It's just a distant memory.
It's just gone. It's just gone. But when I was an actual teenager, probably with the exception of Buffy and Angel, I didn't really care for teenage soap opera shows. The funny thing is I did not like those shows. I went out of my way to avoid them because, you know, when you're a teenager and you get self-righteous about the most random things that you find so important. Mine was not watching teenage soap opera shows because I was like, I'm too good for this. But now, at the age I am now, which I refuse to say, I actually now I love teenage soap opera shows, which is so funny.
Well, I think level of like I don't know, like when you're kind of like, Dawson's Creek was a stupid show. That was a stupid show. There was nothing even redeemable about it, really. Except the fact that it like introduced the world to Michelle Williams.
And,
like, thank you for all of that, because I'm here all day for it. But like, other than that, I was like, I don't need James Van Der Beek trying to cry. Like, I don't need that.
The funny thing is, and that's another one, because I'll be honest, like when that show was on, I maybe caught an episode or two, but it obviously wasn't something I sought out. And I was kind of like, oh my God, Dawson's Creek, L. But now I just love how James Van Der Beek has transcended, and he's become like a caricature of himself.
Yes.
Like, I love him. Like, at the time I was just kind of, I was impartial towards him, but now I love him because he obviously, he's really funny. He makes fun of himself. And like a few years ago,
because he's absurd.
Yeah. He's,
I mean, not to be rude, but like, boy was not a good actor. He wasn't even, I'm going to get real harsh, he wasn't even that good looking. Like, sorry, people. Sorry about it.
Well, he wasn't the guy I would have crushed on.
Eyebrows were bonkers. His face was weird. Like, he just, like, I'm like, and he had, like, that weird, like, ugly cry thing.
Oh, the ugly cry. Yeah, that was an ugly cry.
It was bad.
Yeah. See, mind you, I was more of a Joshua Jackson girl. I was like, oh.
Oh, Joshua Jackson, way better looking. But if you compare, like, the whole reason that Riverdale is made is basically to be like, oh, and here's some excuse to put KJ Apa in absolutely no clothing. And
yeah,
here's another excuse to put KJ Apa in no clothing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm here for it. But, like, you wouldn't want to see Joshua Jackson in, in no clothing like KJ Apa. He never had the body.
Oh, God, because I don't even remember thinking that at that age. Because at that age, I wasn't even wanting dudes to take their shirts off. I think I was, God, I was pretty young, I think, when that show came out. Because that was almost the same time as Buffy,
I think we were 12 or 13, so maybe I'm just being really inappropriate. Not calibrated properly.
James had already, you had already evolved, whereas I was still at that, like.
No, I think I'm just cycling back to being, like, 18, like, 17 and 18 and watching, as opposed to being, like, oh, I'm 13 years old and watching this, and I just don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's just, like, a difference between then and now and then in 18.
Right.
Like when your hormones are like, or like 16 and 17, where your hormones are crazy and you're like, I could just hump a pillow and be happy. You know,
right.
Like,
blah, right. Blah, blah. See, for me, it was pre-pillow humping. Yeah. So that, that's like what we'll call it now. It's the pre-pillow humping stage of
GP.
Of adolescence.
What do you think about Riverdale?
Oh, sorry. You mean to get back on topic instead of?
Just slightly. Just slightly.
We'll just slightly. Sorry. Babbling. Tangents. Tangents. Oh, I love Riverdale. I adore it. It's something I look forward to watching when I do get to watch it. It's ridiculous. And as I said, I love my teenage soap operas.
Yeah.
I love it. I love how the way they imagine this the show for TV, how they took like a little bit of Twin Peaks, but made like a younger version of it. If they kind of took that formula with, you know, someone dying, a mystery. And also I'm just a sucker for the whole, this idyllic looking small town is so sweet and innocent on the outside, but it's actually the most messed up place in the world. I love that. I love that idea. And I love how they really played on that with this whole, it looks so idyllic and wonderful, but it's everyone in this town is actually super crazy.
It's just like open with like Belle leaving her house in the morning and singing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Down in this little village.
Yeah.
You know, like, and everyone comes out with like guns and starts shooting each other. Like,
right. And there's like, scandal and oh my God, it's. Oh, we'll get into that later.
So, like, my sister, I grew up reading, like, Archie comics.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was a big Archie comic book reader when she was younger, and my sister grew up, like, we had bags of Archie comics, like, mm-hmm. bags, like, garbage bags. Like, mm-hmm. there was no collectability going on in our heads about Archie comics, and they're not really about collectibles. Like, they're very, like, digestible and throw them away, basically. Right. But, you know, my sister was a big Archie comic reader, and then I would steal them and read them, and they were really, like, the same story over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, usually Archie will have some problem with his jalopy, and then he has to, like, find a way to pay to get it fixed,
mm-hmm.
and then he wants to take you know, a dance is coming up and he has to figure out who he's going to take. And then Veronica and Archie, like Veronica and Betty have sort of like a rivalry, but they get along. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Jughead eats a burger.
Yeah.
That's the story, you know, like, I'm like, how are they going to make this a show? Like, I don't understand. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, and so if you're looking for that, like if you're looking for Archie and a TV version of the one that you've read when you were younger, you're not going to find it here.
Right. I was familiar with Archie comics growing up, but I did not follow it. My mom and my uncle, of all people, they read Archie comics. Because when I mentioned the show to them, I'm watching the show Riverdale, they were both like, Archie comics. And of course, you know, when you have that moment when your parents know about something you know about and you're just like, what?
What's going on?
Yeah. But they actually read it. So it was kind of funny talking about the show with them. And I was like, I don't know if you guys would like it, because my understanding is that it's not entirely like the comics. But
no, it's not at all like the comics. It's not at all like the comics.
I was only a little familiar with Archie comics growing up. Like, obviously, I knew who Archie, Betty, and Veronica were. I knew about Cheryl, I think. And it was one of those where, depending on where I was, I might have, like, read an issue or two. But obviously, I'm not a big follower, not totally knowledgeable, just, oh, this is a show that's going to be based on those Archie comics. That's kind of cool. I wonder how they're going to do that. So that was my familiarity.
I think what's interesting is, like, not to nerd out for a minute,
go
but about Archie is odd. But, like, I mean, the ones that I read, like, when I was younger was, like, it's almost like Veronica was Cheryl Blossom, like, back in the day. Like, Cheryl, like, Veronica was the bitch of mm-hmm. the town. Basically, the rich bitch mm-hmm. who would always get her way. And then they started to, like, figure out ways to sort of evolve her character. Like, her character evolved into, like, being a friend of Betty's. And they had, like, Betty and Veronica comics, which was, like, not even about Archie. It was just about these two girls who got along and they were, like, friendly with each other. Mm-hmm. And I remember this one where Veronica or Betty, like, had some idea of, like, Veronica was, like, over sand being at the beach. And she was like, I can't deal with it. It's too rough. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like Betty was like, oh, why don't you try talcum powder or something ridiculous? And so Veronica has more money than God. So she just brings in like this truck filled with talcum powder and nice. She dives in wet into nice. The talcum powder. And it's all stuck to her. And she's like, well, Betty, there's this one problem with talcum. Anyway, guys, it's a deep cut. But like, basically that's what this, you know, like it wasn't Veronica, like starting off was the bitch. And then they realized that they had brought her to a point where she couldn't just be like, randomly a bitch to right. everyone. So they created Cheryl Blossom. And Cheryl Blossom came in like the 90s, I think, early 90s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So she's a pretty recent character, and so is Kevin Keller. Kevin Keller is the gay guy in the show. And Kevin is an actual comic book character. And he had never been around before until like 2000, and don't quote me, I want to say 8 or 10. And they brought him in to like, diversify the cast and like bring in a gay character and mm-hmm. you know show what that's like mm-hmm. in this idyllic world where like basically Archie, like the idyllic world that you're describing and has all these like layers, like the Archie world is just idyllic, you know, like it's just an idyllic world, like right. nothing wrong with it, and that's basically all you get.
Okay,
anyway, sorry, I'm off on a tangent.
I thank you for that, just because like for someone like me who only was aware that Archie existed and whatnot, like it's kind of like, oh.
So like, you know, like all the characters that are featured are basically in the comic. They're just like super different.
Right.
I mean, all of them are different, but they're just kind of different enough.
Hearing that, it is at its, you know, it's the idyllic small town, and the fact that on the show they decided to put this Lynchian twist on it. You could use that trope a million times, and each time I am probably going to watch it and love it.
Absolutely. And I think that helps to like really bring out more of the characters and more of the story. Like obviously you can't have episode after episode of Archie and the gang eating burgers at the chocolate shop.
Right. This isn't the 1950s or 1960s where they literally did have shows like that, where it's just like light shenanigans. And then, oh, at the end of the day, we go to the diner and have our milkshake.
That's it.
Yeah. That's literally what shows like they did have shows like that.
Like, this is what this is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Leave It to Beaver.
That's when the original comic book came out. So there's a lot of that, like, you know, just feeding into old Americana stereotypes, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it originated out of.
Yeah, and that's a great point about it being old school Americana, because you're right, that's absolutely what it was. So I just love how now it's a thing where we have that Americana, but we put a twist on it. Like, even with Riverdale, I would say some aspects of it are even like a little bit gothic, especially when they bring up Cheryl's family and her their mansion and the Blossom family and how they all congregate.
Yes.
And also, Cheryl's my favorite character. I freaking love Cheryl so much.
Okay.
She's so ridiculous, and I'm all about it.
So ridiculous. So let's talk about, so we kind of covered, like, do we like it?
Yeah.
So your favorite character is Cheryl.
Yeah, I love Cheryl. She is so shameless, but then also, because this is another archetype I love in my entertainment, because even though she has everything, the struggle is real for her, you guys. The struggle is true. The struggle is so real for her, you know, because her twin brother got murdered and they had a special connection that no one else would understand.
Oh boy, there's like some real incesty nonsense going on in the
show. Yeah, there is some incest. Yeah, there is some not subtle. It's not even subtle.
No, he's my soulmate, and we will meet again in heaven when I die. And I was like, oh, that's where this show went.
Oh,
I
was
like, oh, this is some, like, flowers in the attic bullshit.
Right?
I'm like, oh, Game of Thrones is calling, and they want their story arc back.
We have to thank Game of Thrones, because I think they opened the door for incestuous relationships everywhere in our entertainment. So, thanks, Game of Thrones.
Thank you, Game of Thrones. I'm air quoting, by the way. Bonkers banana hammock. I'm like, oh. And basically, like, they're the only brother and sister in the show.
Yeah,
right? The brother and sister in the show. So the only brother and sister in the show are macking on each other, basically.
Pretty much, like, emotionally. I would say they're emotionally macking on each other.
Boning. They're boning.
You think so? You think so, yeah?
He has real problems. I rewatched the first episode, and I was like, this is crazy. If you heard someone talk about their brother or sister in this regard in high school, you'd be like, oh, they're practicing oral on each other. This is crazy. Like, I don't know what is happening. This is bonkers. No one even has that reaction. Everyone's like, oh, yeah.
No, the only one who calls them out is Betty. Later in the season, they're playing, like, this weird truth or dare game. Because, you know, that's what teenagers do. They play, like, spin the bottle and truth or dare.
I never played truth or dare once in high school.
Yeah, me either. But, of course.
Spin the bottle.
Yeah,
what the fuck
but
is that?
This is Riverdale, James. This is Riverdale. You know, they play those idyllic games, but there's a twist. But
wasn't spin the bottle like you just, like, spin it and then you make out? They have, like, rules. They're like, okay, we spin it to find out who's going to be in the closet with Archie Andrews because his last name begins with A. And then you're going to spend 7 minutes in there. And I'm like, what is happening?
I know. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. But yeah, I remember in that episode, they were playing Truth or Dare. And Betty even said, you were in love with your brother. Betty called her out. I was like, yes, Betty.
I forgot about that. Betty has so many issues.
Oh, yeah. Well, which is something I actually kind of like, because I think it brings up the fact that Betty, sweet, sweet looking, innocent looking, idyllic Betty, she has some stuff going on, you know? She's got some stuff going on.
None of it is explained or explored.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, and today she's a dominatrix.
Yeah. That's cool.
Tomorrow in school we'll act like none of that happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
but maybe they bring that up in the second, or maybe they'll bring that up in the second season. So once again,
that was episode, 13, 12? I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it was early. And I'm like, oh, this is something that they're doing. They drown a kid. They almost drowned Chuck.
Burned
him. I can't remember what they did. I'm like, you tortured a kid in high school.
He freaking deserved it, though. He was a little shit. He was a little shit.
He is a piece of garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Big time. It is something they introduce. It becomes an ongoing thing. Like, whenever Betty is stressing out, you know, she presses her nails into her palm and they bleed. So the way I saw it was that I think it's really interesting because we're introducing the fact that she clearly is dealing or battling with something. Anxiety, who knows? So I think it's cool because it's like even that sweet girl with the perfect life supposedly, it doesn't matter who you are, like you might have a mental illness or something, or be dealing with anxiety. So, or who knows, like, I don't know if they explore it in the second season, but I kind of liked that.
It's so CW, and the fact that it's like, oh, she's not just dealing with anxiety. No. She's dealing with, like, I have some sort of weird split personality anxiety.
Yeah.
Which causes me to, like, become a dominatrix.
Of course. Because this is the... Yeah, because this is the CW. It's not, you know, we're not just going to, like, binge eat or something and look like a hot mess. We're going to literally look hot.
Yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful. Like, with that...
They're not going to, like, have, like, oversized overalls or, like, you know, like you're not going to look like crap ever. You're going to look Never. Amazing all the time, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you have problems.
Yeah.
Don't forget your problems. Like, I'm like, okay.
Right, yes. Right. Okay, so I talked about Cheryl a bit, how she's like this amazing bitchy, just I don't know, I just think her character is so fabulous. Her, and also like she has like that beautiful red hair and she always looks so good. I'm not going to lie, like I'm with the way I dress and do my makeup now, and this sounds really silly because I'm an actual freaking adult, I'm kind of inspired a bit by her aesthetic, because there's something kind of like gothic about her aesthetic a little bit. They kind of give her a little bit of a Victorian flair sometimes. Yeah. So anyways, I mean, well,
none of these people are dressing themselves, so it's like they're all getting, you know, like none of, like they're all being dressed by adults,
right?
Artists.
Right,
so like, to model yourself after them isn't that ridiculous.
Oh, okay, thank you, I appreciate that, thank you. So I don't
like feel like in high school dressed like this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, high school was never this fantastic or fabulous. Okay, so who's your favorite character, James?
I don't know. I have a really
interesting.
This show, like, I don't know. Like, I like everything that's happening in it. I have a hard time, sort of, like, with any of them.
Okay.
I think Kevin Keller is probably the funniest character and, like, the one that's, like, the least affected by everything. And he kind of just makes his statements and then leaves. Mm-hmm. And I like that because that reminds me a little bit of me. I'm like, oh, that's what that's happening. And then I'm like, exit stage left. I don't want any of this nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want any splashes of weirdness from you people on me. I'm good. I like Veronica. I think that so I was telling you in the first episode that I watched, Veronica has like this whole speech Sarah Blossom after she does the tryout with Betty. And she's like, you told us to bring the fire, but I only know how to bring ice. And I was like, oh boy, this is the whole thing.
So dramatic.
She really, she must have been practicing that, but didn't know when she was going
to
use it.
Like, right, like, that's a speech she'd been planning to give for years, and she was finally looking for the appropriate situation, and then it finally happened.
I wonder when you can unleash fire and ice speech. I wonder when that will come up. Oh, right now, got it.
Got it. Oh, this, my time has come. My time has come.
But what I was telling you about Veronica, which I find a little problematic, was an issue, episode one, again, she basically forces herself on Betty, like, to kiss her. And I think it's really weird. Like, anytime that there's two women kissing, everyone's just like, oh, fine, sure. But, like, also, we're not in 1997 anymore, and it's not an Ally McBeal third season episode where we need to, like, spike our ratings.
Right,
like,
right.
This bullshit. Like, I don't need to watch, like, Calista Flockhart try to, like, kiss Lucy, like, I don't need that in my life. Like, shut it down.
And that's a good point you brought up, because I'll be honest, when I watched that episode, like, I thought not much about that moment. I just thought, oh, okay, they're trying to make this scintillating. But that's the point. Oh, yeah. Two girls kissing, that's scintillating. And also, and something you mentioned,
I thought we were past that.
Yeah, and something you mentioned earlier is if it had been a boy telling a girl, oh, don't freak out, and in front of everyone, and then just kissing her, I would be like, what the fuck?
Right?
So it's interesting. Like, so just because it's two girls, it makes it okay. But at the same time, and this is something I'm going to bring up later with another plot aspect I found a little problematic. But yeah. I think it's still something that, as a society, we just accept that as the norm.
Right.
But it's a good point. Like, I think that that is problematic because it's two girls, it's okay. And it's like, well, not really. Yeah, like,
I don't know, you guys. Consent is so important.
Right.
So weird that on a TV show that's, like, directed towards teenage girls that we're, like, messaging, like, that you should go to tryouts and make out with each other. Like, I know, like, I'm taking it to a whole nother level, but, right. Like, what are we saying in people. And then, like, if you're exploring your sexuality and if you're trying to figure it out and, like, I don't know, I'm just so bored of it. Like, I was just like, this is so stupid.
No, total. And it, and like you said, like, even though it might be taking this small thing and making it a bigger issue, it still just shows how, even though we've progressed a lot, there's still so much more to be done as far as these subtle things that are okay. Like you said, like, this is something, actually, really quick tangent, but just to help prove a point. Speaking of watching teenage soap operas as an adult, I started properly watching The OC, but I'm doing it now as an adult. And yeah, it's ridiculous. And I actually kind of love it because it's ridiculous. But in one of the episodes, they have this whole character going through a lesbian phase plotline. And once again, this is so 2003 because it's a little like, seriously. So it kind of made me think of that a little bit as far as,
I feel like we've grown so past that point. Like, I'm like, we were just talking about, you know, Buffy. Mm-hmm. With Willow, mm-hmm. and even Dawson's Creek had a gay guy on it. Mm-hmm. And Drag Race is one of the most popular shows on TV. I'm like, and we're talking about, you know, Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder, and like, I'm like, aren't we past this point? Aren't we like beyond? I want to stop saying the word like. I'm so sorry. Aren't we beyond the point of just having two girls make out because we think it's hot? Like, right. I just don't understand. Just on that basic aspect alone, like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, because it's one of those where I think it's made for that general male gaze, like hetero male gaze, I should say. And it's really, I think it's infuriating and undermining and insulting, because obviously this is the actual sexuality of millions of people out there. So to make it this, it's hot.
And not to say nothing, like, we're coming from the perspective of, like, Veronica Lodge, who grew up in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who, yeah.
You know, like, really should be on top, like, should be a socialite, should be smart, is educated, supposed to be, like, the ball buster, basically, and supposed to know herself better. And she thought, like, two girls making out in front of a three-girl panel of judges is going to make them choose that. Like, I just,
well,
like,
also because, isn't it shocking because we kissed?
Like, it wasn't shocking. It was stupid. It was trite, boring, and I'm done with it. Well, I was like, you guys need to pack up that plot point, put it away, and find something else to do.
Right. And like you said, this isn't 1997 anymore. It's what, look at what we did. We shocked you. We went there. It's like,
we can have real lesbian relationships on TV, but we can have them kiss. I was like, I'm fucking over this. Shut the fuck up. You have Kevin Keller is an actual gay character. Can we explore him for 2 minutes, please?
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
And good day.
Right.
Like, I didn't make out with Moose. There we go. Like, I don't know. Some female gay, female lesbians. Like, what? I don't understand why we're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, and the funny thing is, when you mentioned that before we started recording, I had completely forgotten that moment even happened. So Maybe that shows how, like, for me, even, because at the time when I watched it, I just kind of rolled my eyes and went, CW. But see, like, stop it. And I didn't even have the reaction that you initially had and you brought up. So that just shows how, even now, I still just kind of, I don't even see how, come on, guys. I just kind of rolled my eyes and thought, they're just being shocking. Like, I didn't even see how, that's actually could potentially be a little bit insensitive. Like,
and just weird that basically are saying it's okay when a woman does it to another woman, but not okay when a guy does it to a woman. It should never be okay for one person to kiss another person without them knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, don't come in my personal bubble. Unless we know that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's one of those subtle little things, and I think you brought up an excellent point.
I was like, you're in a public place, and you're basically pouncing on this girl's face.
Yeah, like if a guy did that, I would have been like, what? No.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
Yeah,
I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, excellent point. So another thing that I found a little problematic, actually I shouldn't say a little, it is just flat out problematic, and is this subplot involving Archie, who's, I'll be honest, he's kind of the worst. Like, Archie's
real bad.
Archie's the worst.
He's a bad person.
Archie's a terrible, like, he's your typical teenage boy that's like, it's all about me. So anyway, it involves Archie, and it's the whole Miss Grundy and Archie being in love and hooking up, even though his character's like, what, 16, 17 years old?
It's unclear how old he is. But he's a sophomore, right? So, like, 16.
Maybe, yeah, a sophomore or a junior. Anyway, he's the character's under 18. That's the important. Like, yeah. And this isn't the first time this is a plot point that's come up on these teenage shows. It's the whole teacher and student. Sometimes it's a male teacher and a female student. In this one, it's a female teacher and a male student. And I feel like because it was a female teacher, it made it okay. Because they
go back to the original season. I'm going to go way back, guys, to Dawson's Creek. We had Joshua Jackson all up in, we'll just call her Miss Grundy because I can't remember her name.
Right. Mrs. Grundy 1.0.
Yeah, exactly. And now we have it again, and it's 2018.
Yeah. And that is something, because I'll be honest, the first time I saw that, I was like, you go, Miss Grundy. I'll be honest, that was my initial reaction.
That's yours.
Because let's face it, all these actors are actually above 18. So I think psychologically in our brain, we think, well, it's actually okay. Because in reality, they're all like consenting adults.
It's super not.
But once again, the fact that, and if I remember correctly, I don't think they actually bring up the fact that technically that's rape, even though Archie did consent. It's statutory rape.
I think they're just like, oh, you'll leave town? Great. Thanks. Thanks for raping our son.
Yeah.
Come visit when you're comfy. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
And also, I mean, they did hint at the fact that, because, you know, they gave Mrs. Grundy this whole backstory of how she was abused by her, I think, ex-husband, if I remember correctly. So that's why she does this. And I think it's interesting that they did bring up her backstory in that sense, but that still doesn't make it okay. But at the same time, her exiting scene is her like checking out other young men. So it's like, oh, so she's a predator. Mrs. Grundy is actually a predator.
Like, oh, you're a pedophile.
Yeah, you're a pedophile.
You're a fucking pedophile.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so over, like, we, like, all of us have this, like, sensibility of being like, oh, the women with younger guys, like, girl. But I'm like, you know, you're 32 and he is 16. You are a pedophile.
Right. That is, I think, out of everything about this show so far, even though, yes, there are some things that are ridiculous, but it's, you know, a teenage soap opera, whatever. That's the only subplot where, after thinking about it, I'm like, that's actually not okay, because we need to stop perpetuating as entertainment this story of a teacher falling in love with an underage student and it being okay because he's or she's just really mature. You know, that's actually, it's messed up.
It's icky. And they did the same thing, and I'm going to go real gay for a minute, in Pretty Little Liars.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Oh, like, I know about that show. I never watched it, but I know it exists.
And it is the same exact story. I mean, basically, like, she is, but it's the guy is the teacher and the girl is the young man.
Oh.
So, like, I don't know. It's a real problem. It's not okay in any regard. And, like, I feel like this is 20 years ago we watched Dawson's Creek and they had the same show. Like, it's the same show.
Oh, yeah, it's
so
all
I'm
the same
like,
show.
Why am I seeing this again? Why is this on TV? Like, what are we talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to do something really new with it. Like, Miss Grundy turns out to be, like, this, like, killer or something. Like, unless it's going to be, like, a big twist or, like, something's going to come out. She doesn't even do anything. She leaves town.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, like, nothing comes of it. So I'm like, what?
Yeah, and I feel like nothing comes of it, and Archie never has this moment of, I was taken advantage of. Because that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you're 16. Like, it's super weird.
Yeah. So that is problematic. Like, I love this show. I'm so entertained by it. But that is a subplot where I'm like, we could have done without that. We didn't need to do the whole hot older, like you say, because it's a hot older woman. And I feel like because for some reason we're desensitized to it being, you know, predatory when it's an older woman and a younger man.
Yes.
But it's absolutely predatory. And
it is.
Yeah, so I think that's the one subplot where I was like, we didn't need to do that. Like, there were so many other things we could have done instead of...
I mean, people make such a big point of saying, and I think it's true, I think men mature later than women do,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. And I think to say those things and to know that that's factual... And then to have a pedophile basically take advantage of our main character and then not even talk about it. Like,
yeah.
Maybe it'd be great if he was dealing with some sort of underlining real problems.
Right.
Being taken advantage of. Well, like, yeah, that would be interesting.
Exactly. Like, to have that subplot, but then the repercussions of him realizing I was taken advantage of. I mean, not just like, because I'm not saying we shouldn't have, you know, real life situations happen on these shows. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying is don't have it happen and have it be normalized. Because I feel like they had this happen and then they normalized it. That's the problem.
When you talk about rape in a certain way, and it's like when a woman gets raped and then we get to see the man, the hero of the story, quote unquote, the hero, then take action for the woman.
Right. Like, instead of showing like what happens to the woman, the effects of this horrible, disgusting, traumatic event on her, it's about this other male protagonist avenging her and making it about him.
And I'm like, bro, it's not your story.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
But this is his story. This is like an opportunity to be like, oh, he was basically raped by this woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. So yeah, that is probably that is without a doubt my biggest complaint and criticism of Riverdale, is the fact that it perpetuated this normalizing of the older woman and the underage man and no one batting an eye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The biggest issue is not the fact that they're doing that storyline, but the fact that they had no reaction to it.
Exactly. A reaction where people weren't like, you were raped. That was rape.
Like, you are not allowed to have the same reaction as the parents in 1998.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, this isn't some boys comedy like, yeah, he got it with the hot teacher. Like, once again, no.
Dawson's Creek, guys.
Yeah.
Like, there was an episode of Glee that was talking about, I know, guys, I'm going all over the place.
Wow.
But there's a lot of episodes that have touched on this subject before, and nobody ever fucking handles it right. And I'm like, if you don't know how to handle it right, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy is like who has a babysitter who's older, and she takes advantage of him when he's younger.
Oh.
And everyone starts hearing, when he's like having a real emotional moment and like crying about it and is upset. And I was like, oh my God, they're close to actually like handling this somewhat appropriately, because he's talking about how this is a real problem and he's had to grow up feeling like less than and beaten down and
mm-hmm.
feel like shit because of what happened to him when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next episode, nothing. They don't talk about it anymore. It's never brought up ever again. And I was like, I don't know what you guys are doing.
Not okay.
What?
Not okay.
Yeah. Bonkers.
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 Yeah. All right. So yeah, Riverdale, let's stop. Or in season two, if you address it, maybe after the fact, to maybe make up for it. Because I know we're not the only ones who've made this criticism. Like, there have been like articles and written about how, like, we love you, Riverdale, but why are you doing this? So yeah, Riverdale, listen, other shows out there, listen,
take note,
just stop.
I mean, if you're going to do it, address what the problem is with it.
Exactly. Because this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Yeah.
This drives me bonkers. I'm like, it's the same story every time, and nobody actually addresses what the problem is with it. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Exactly. So yeah, everyone, let's just stop. Stop normalizing. Not cool. Not okay. Yes, the actors themselves are over 18. Still. Stop. Stop, stop, stop.
Anyway, I have a little song.
You have a song?
A little song. It's based on Drag Race, if everyone's watching Drag Race, and they should be.
Right, right.
Well, this is from All Stars 2.
Okay.
I'm on the edges, and I'm here to make it clear. I know you love my abs. That's why you brought me here. That's it.
Yay! And that, I think, is the reason why KJ Apa is on this flipping show.
I mean, he looks great.
KJ Apa, okay, speaking of... Oh my God. He like only just turned 20, which is insane to me. Cause
I have to go home and kill myself. I have to, like, that's awful. I don't want to know that.
Right.
First of all, I feel dirty because
I feel dirty.
What? He's beautiful.
I feel dirty, especially cause we just literally just talked about the whole Miss Grundy thing. And it's like, so this is appropriate.
But we know he's legal. There's the legal difference. Like, we're not in a fictional universe where he is 16.
Right.
And macking. I'm like, first of all, okay, but nobody looked like that at 16, and that's not fair. So, like,
I
shut it.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I would like to say, growing up watching Buffy, the occasional Dawson's Creek episode, but mostly it was just Buffy, I had this very unrealistic idea of what high school was going to be like. I was the idiot that looked forward to high school. Poor, stupid little baby Giselle. I mean, not 100%. It's not like I expected to be like fucking Buffy, but you know what I mean? Like, you have an idea of, oh, okay, like, maybe this is what people are going to look like.
Oh, I completely thought that I would have weekly, daily meetings with my friends in the library, and we would be hunting demons.
Oh, yeah? Okay,
not true.
Yeah, not true. Obviously, the whole, like, vampire part, I knew that wasn't real, obviously. But I just remember when I finally got into high school, everyone looks so young. You know, because when you're like 12 and 13, you don't realize that everyone's in their freaking 20s and 30s playing, you know, teenagers.
And they're all amazing looking.
And they're all and like gorgeous.
Trainers and nutritionists and like,
yeah,
get Botox. And I'm like, oh, okay, so people actually just look like humans.
Yeah. Like, oh, people are normal looking. How, you know, and then of course that horrible moment when you're like, disappointed, you know, but. Exactly.
There are those, it's really rare, but there are those few that just look great. And it's really unfair. Mm-hmm. Like, and their skin is clear all the time, and they're fit, and they, yeah, like, work out. I'm like, what's this? That's not fair.
There were the rare birds like that somehow bypassed the awkward part of puberty.
Yeah.
And then made the rest of us feel, like, weird about it. Yeah.
Not weird. Felt real bad about ourselves.
Teenage years, puberty, that's all part of the fun part of that experience.
Oh, it's awful.
So glad not to be a teenager ever again.
Me too. Good luck to all of you.
Yeah, seriously, to the younger ones listening, good luck. You'll get through it, we promise. Then you can be like us, talking about fictional teenagers much later.
And how hot your KJ Appa will be, because you will have one.
You will have one. You too have a KJ Appa to look forward to. He's out there. He hasn't ascended yet, but he's out there.
He hasn't been born yet.
Yeah, I know. Oh my god. Oh my god. Woo. Cool. So to get back to our very sophisticated current topic, I feel like, because we talked about this a little bit before, one of the reasons why I absolutely love Riverdale, and this has, I'll be upfront right now, this has nothing to do with appreciation of plot or writing. It is for completely and utterly superficial reasons. It's the fact that I feel like I'm in this awesome age. So you have the teenage characters who are all beautiful, and then their parents are played by freaking Luke Perry.
Oh, this is really hard for me, because I'm like, oh, these are people that we grew up watching.
Exactly.
Teenagers.
Exactly. That's why I feel like you and I were at this perfect age for this show. Yeah, all the parents are played by the heartthrobs of the 90s. And
it's
so,
not perfect age. It makes me want to shoot myself out a window. I'm like, oh, I feel very old right now. Like, I somehow have 16-year-old kid in high school.
Right? Luke Perry. And then, okay, and then another one was like Skeet Ulrich, who I remember when he was a big thing in the 90s. And frankly, I prefer how he looks now. Now that he's like all dadified, the daddy issues in me are coming out hardcore. I'm like, this show so caters. Because if you guys listen to the Defective Geeks podcast, this is something I brought up every once in a while, and I'm bringing it up again. It's like, oh, the daddy issues are strong with me, and this show caters to it.
This one.
They're strong in this one, and I love how this show, with like Luke Perry being such a caring dad, and then, you know, Skeet Ulrich, he cares, but he does pretty much sacrifice himself for his son, and Skeet Ulrich's all like hot now, hotter than ever. This is creepy, because I thought you were cute when I was like 11, and it's just, once again, I feel like they made this show just for our generation, so we could feel all these wonderful, confusing, weird feelings that make us feel kind of gross, but we love it, or at least I do.
Very odd. I feel very weirded out a lot of
but
the time.
But I like it. I'm like, yeah, weird me out, Riverdale. Weird me out. Yeah. Give me these confusing feelings. I'm all about it.
I think, yeah, no, I mean, and yeah, everyone's, but it's so, interesting because it's like you're like when watching like a normal TV show now, like there are people who look different. There's different races and there's, I mean, I feel like they're trying to diversify a cast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if they're succeeding with diversifying this cast very well. And like, I think like there's a couple of issues I just have with the show overall. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take me out of it so much because I think it's just a ridiculous show. I kind of like take it as it is. And I'm like, oh, this is CW. Completely white.
Because even though they did make Veronica Latina, which I thought was cool, I thought, okay, that's great. That's adding some diversity. But at the same time, it is still a predominantly white cast.
Yeah. Reggie is Asian, is nice. Reggie doesn't play enough of a big role that I'm like, oh, they just made him Asian because they're like, oh, you're Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Over here, we have more white people.
Yeah, no, and that's an excellent point, is even though, and this says a lot, that this show is more diverse than a lot of shows out there right now. With that being said, it's still not that diverse. So that's another thing, CW. We know you love casting, you know, those really beautiful white early people. 20s looking white people, but we need more diversity, please.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Keller's boyfriend in the comics is a black man. It's a black dude.
Ah.
Where'd that be at? No, you know what I mean? Like, I understand, like, maybe he's not introduced yet because he's, like, basically when he's, like, when they introduce him, they settle down. Like, they do the safe gay thing, which is, like, which also I can't stand. It's like, oh, now that you have your other significant other, we're just going to have you guys be happy together and never have any storylines about you being gay. Or, mm-hmm. like, have a storyline with you at all because you're happy.
Right. We don't need to see what you're actually doing. We don't need to witness it.
Yeah. I like to call it like the married gay syndrome, basically. Oh, on TV.
Married gay like, syndrome?
Marry them off and they're happy and they have no more story.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see it happen. And it mostly happens with like gay men.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough lesbians.
Yeah. Yeah.
To have a problem yet because that sucks. That's a whole nother fucking problem.
Right.
There's not enough lesbians, period. There's not enough bisexual, like, oh, when they were doing, like, the Kevin Keller and Moose, like, hooking up, very small, tiny subplot that you would barely have noticed, except they found the dead body.
Right.
In the first episode.
Right.
You know, in the comics, Moose has a girlfriend named Midge. Now, what I would find interesting is if they introduced Midge, oh, but they did make Josie from Josie, like the Josie and the Pussycats, they are now all black, which I really, really liked. Anyway, sorry.
True. That is part of that is once again some more diversity, but they could do more. There could be more.
I love that. And I liked her mom in the story, and I liked them pushing them, trying to be like a label and a brand, and like all of that was good.
That was a good subplot. Thank you for bringing that up. And that was one I forgot to bring up. I love Josie and the Pussycats in this. I love her mom's character. And that's another reason why I was like, Archie is the worst, because when Archie started like hanging out with Josie and being like, my music, I want to do my music, like, stop bothering like, Josie.
He went through so many women in this season.
Yeah.
He needed everyone. I'm like, who's left? Calm your dick down. What are we, like, I'm sorry. Like, this show has a real problem of being like, KJ Apa needs to just hook up with every woman.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're run out of them, and he's going to be like humping Kevin Keller in season two. Like
Archie's
because Archie doesn't. I mean, Archie's a fine character in the comics, and he's actually just like a really nice guy who gets like beaten down a lot.
Uh huh.
I think they were trying to give him personality and things to latch onto,
right?
And, you know, like, and I don't have a problem with like a protagonist being awful. Like, start him off being awful, and then like have an arc where he kind of grows up, and like that's what I'm fine. I'm for that. Like, Dawn and Buffy, like, oh, she started off real rough.
Yeah.
And almost got worse. Mm-hmm. And then got better. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, good. I have all of that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But I think, like, maybe his father, like, at the end of season one, we see his father get shot.
Oh, Luke Perry.
So maybe there's, like, a level of, like, growing up that he does from that, which I think would be really cool. Like, it's a good, you know, a good plot point, a good, like, story that we could dive off of. I don't have faith in that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they want to find any reason to be like, oh, KJ Apa's hooking up with a new girl. Take off his shirt.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
What was I saying before? I was saying something. Oh, so, okay. So in the comics, Moose has a girlfriend named Midge. I went off on a real tangent, you guys. But he has a girlfriend named Midge. Now, what I would think would be interesting if we introduce her into the universe. And we have a trifecta. We have a love triangle, but it's between Moose, Kevin, and Midge, which we've never seen before. So Moose is can we make Moose bisexual?
Mm-hmm.
And then he has actual feelings for Midge. He has actual feelings for Kevin. And we have a story that really revolves around this subplot of him figuring out who he wants to be with. And not just because he's like gay all of a sudden in this show. I think that would just add an extra layer to like what they're trying to tell and like showcase as a story.
Absolutely. Because I feel like particularly bisexuality is something that people still have trouble portraying it, or because it's usually seen as a phase, quote unquote, you know, like she's going through her lesbian phase. It's still not something people take seriously in the media.
Yeah. Okay. No, there's like that old, there's an old episode of Sex in the City where they're like talking about how bisexuality is like,
I remember that episode.
From like gay town or Gayville. And it's like, oh, what's that next to Ricky Martinville or something? Yeah. And I was like, I can't with you. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I remember that episode because, yes, I watched Sex in the City, and there were, oh God, talk about problematic. So many things about that show were so problematic.
Apparently,
and
not the only ones. Kim Cattrall had real problems on it too.
Yes. But yeah, I remember that episode, and it was a insensitive way to discuss bisexuality because, like you said, it was just, oh, it's just a phase, just something people go through. And I don't understand. I don't think anyone's really bisexual. They're just being selfish or, you know, oh God, this is, I mean, yes, it was the 90s though, wasn't it? Wasn't that like the late 90s? Okay. So there you go. Late 90s, early 2000s.
I mean, they're all splashes of like, but they're still, it's still going on today.
Oh yeah. I was about to say, that's still the mentality.
Yeah. Some people. And we don't have any representation on screen, like at all.
Yeah.
Sexuality.
Yeah. So yeah, Riverdale, just bring up some bisexuality, some more racial diversity, please.
I called it.
And no more of the whole hot for teacher. Wrong. It's wrong. But with those in mind, still, obviously I recommend this show. I do love this show because, as we said before, it's ridiculous. The characters are over the top. And frankly, it's fun. It's so much fun. Definitely would recommend Riverdale if you just want to go to a fun, idyllic little town and see what's really beneath the surface.
Don't expect Belle to show up and start singing. quick question.
Yes.
Do we want to do like a quick rating? Like, I was thinking, like, how many gingers could it be? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah, we'll do gingers. Yeah.
How many gingers would you give this? Because there's three of them in the show.
That's true. There are three actual gingers. I would say out of five gingers, this is a strong 3.75 out of five gingers for me.
Oh, we're doing quarters now.
Oh, I do quarters. I do quarters. I am particular. How about you? How about you, James?
I would say it's a 2.5.
2.5?
Yeah, it's like, it's good, but it's not like, it's not changing the world anymore.
No,
soon.
No, it's not changing the world. No, it just, the only thing it's changed is how I wear my hair sometimes. And now I like to wear, chokers. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Cheryl.
It's just 90s fashion coming back again.
Which I'm all about. I'm all about it. Because 90s fashion, 90s hot dudes coming back. It's great. Thanks, Riverdale.
There it is.
All right. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. Please let us know what you think about Riverdale. If you've seen the first season, we would love to hear your opinions. And yeah, thanks for coming by and check you out.
It's the first season because we haven't watched the second one yet and we don't want to be spoiled.
That's true. That's true. So please, no spoilers for season two because we are behind on everything. And yeah, thank you so much for checking us out and see y'all next time.
Bye.